went on, but it won't come, like, happen. I know, really. All right, take your Bibles, if you would. Hope you have them. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. We're going to start off with verse 27, and then we're going to shoot up to verse 18. And so tonight we're going to be looking at the test of truth. Because of the setup, we're not going to have any slides for you tonight, so we're going to have to kind of wing it. And I hope you can live one night without having slides. I'll try to go slow for you, so you can understand what I'm saying tonight. But the whole theme behind 1 John is basically this: that you will know the truth. And I was talking to a young man in our church the other day who was dating a girl that he doesn't think is truly converted. If she is, she's just hasn't really grown as a Christian, has never really grown up in church. Says she believes in God and believes in Jesus, but, you know, just feels distant to her. So that's a... He was asking me about that, and I said, well, you know, that's a pretty good indicator to me that she's just not truly converted. You know, because a lot of people say they believe in God. James said that the devils believe in Jesus, but they tremble. You know, they believe in the name of Jesus. They believe in the person of Jesus. But they tremble at it, but that doesn't mean that they are believers. Okay, obviously they're not, because they're fallen angels. So I encouraged him. I said, well, this is what I encourage you to do. I said, number one, if she doesn't have a Bible, then just go down to Barnes & Noble or go on Amazon or something and just buy her a cheap Bible. You know, get her a $10, $12 Bible. Get her a translation that she can understand that would encourage her to read more, such as the New American Standard or the ESV or even the New Living. Get her one of those that she could understand while she's reading. And you know, people of my generation can understand the King James because we grew up with the King James. But, you know, nowadays people just don't talk like that. So I encouraged them to do that. And I said, but first of all, when you give it to her, I said, have her read the Gospel of John and then, you know, circle the word believe. And ask her to read a chapter a day or even half a chapter a day. And then from there, go to 1 John. Because the whole theme behind the Gospel of John is that you can believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then 1 John, so that you can know that you are born again. So that you know. So what we're going to look at tonight is not only knowing that you are saved, but knowing the difference between what is false and what is true. And I found it very interesting. Now, I am friends with a Mormon. We're friends on Facebook. We grew up together. He is a very famous person in town. I don't want to mention the name, but some of y'all may in here know him. But we're friends on Facebook. And he has actually been to hear me preach before. Not here. But when I was on staff at Berean, he actually came to hear me preach one night. And it was a Christmas message. So, I mean, it was on the three wise men. So, I mean, it was really, you know, so, I mean, there was nothing controversial at all in the message. But anyway, make a long story short, I was looking to see if we were on Facebook tonight. And I got a Facebook message from a Mormon missionary that saw that this person and I are friends on Facebook, and the message that he sent me said, we have mutual friends, and I would love to share a video with you of how you can have a more intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. So I'm really thinking, how am I going to answer back? And so what I'm thinking is, okay, you share with me, but I'm going to share with you. I'll give you equal time, but you also give me equal time. And I'll be more than happy to sit down with him. And evidently, he must be one of the Mormon missionaries in town right now. Now, let me mention this. This past Sunday morning, You know, I was talking to David about this when he was up here cleaning on Monday. I left here about 10 till 9 to go get me a cup of coffee from up here at Cumberland Coffee Roasters. The parking lot at the church up here was full. Packed. And I saw the two Mormon missionaries on their bicycles coming up Golf View, and they were taking a right, and they were pulling into the Mormon church. Okay? Now, I left here at 12:30. Guess what was still in that parking lot? It was still packed. Now, when I passed by there, I said, you know what? We complain that we start too early and we finish too late. Now, we don't. I've never had anybody in here complain that we start at 10 o'clock and that we need to get out of here by noon. But you know what? I have been a part of churches that have complained that they start Sunday school too early and they finish too early. Or they finish too late. Well, you know what? We got to be at the Golden Corral, you know, before 12:30. Or we got to be at Cracker Barrel before 12:30 for all the churches to get out, you know. Well, you know what? That puts us to shame. That is an indictment on us because they are more dedicated to their belief system, which is false, than our dedication to what is true. So let's look at verse 27. It says, as for you, the anointing which you received from Him abides in you. And you have no need for anyone to teach you, but as His anointing teaches you about all things, and is true, it is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in Him. Okay? Now, a genuine Christian is one that will accept the truth as that Jesus is the Son of God and He is God. Now, this is what all the other false religions will tell you. They will tell you, even Judaism, Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Jehovah's Witnesses, many, many others. The Muslims even believe this. They will tell you that yes, Jesus is God, or Jesus is either the Son of God. Mormons will tell you that. Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses also will tell you that yes, Jesus is the Son of God, but He is a created Son of God. That He is not the eternal Son of God. Okay, you following me? But genuine Christians that know the truth and have embraced the truth, they know that Jesus is the eternal God. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Okay, so we talked last week about the marks of an authentic believer. The first thing we talked about last week is truth. Truth, and that is the belief that Jesus in the flesh is truly the Son of God. Okay, now here's, whenever somebody comes to your door and says, you know, that, you know, they've got khaki pants on, the white shirt, and a name tag and a tie. Or they've got a big Bible, okay, and they're 2x2s. You knock on your door and they say, we'd love to share a good word with you today. How many has ever had that? Okay? Jehovah's Witnesses, they love to knock on your door, and they love to, can we share a good word from the Bible today, or from God today? I always ask them this. I said, you know, well, 9 times out of 10, I say, well, I've already had my good word today. But let me ask you this. Before we go any further with this discussion, let me ask you this. What do you believe about Jesus? It's, oh, He is a good man. He is a prophet. Yes, He is the Son of God. No. Didn't ask you that. What do you think about Him? Didn't ask you if He is the Son of God. Do you believe that He is the Christ? The Messiah? that He is God. And if they say no, bye. The Scriptures is clear. You don't even say, bless you. You don't even say, have a good day. You just simply say, bye. And close the door and let them move on. Now, you can give them a gospel tract. But as far as saying, God bless you, have a good day, or anything of that nature, no. The Scriptures is clear. Because you are not, because by saying, God bless you, have a good day, to them, you are saying, I acknowledge what you are doing is some sort of truth to it. There is absolutely no truth to what they are doing. None whatsoever. So the thing we talked about last week was truth, and that is that Jesus in the flesh is the Son of God, that He is the Messiah. Second thing we talked about is obedience, and that is a consistent obedience to the commandments of God. And then thirdly, love. Love for one another in the family of God. So let's look at point number one tonight. And we're going to go back to verses 18 through 21. And that is a distinction of truth. A distinction of truth. John made it clear between the readers of his letter and those who are trying to seduce them by false teaching. The first thing is this. He spoke about the error of the anti-Christian opponents. And secondly, he contrasted them with the Christians who truly possessed true knowledge of Christ. So let's look at letter A. Letter A is the Antichrist error. The Antichrist error. So let's look at verses 18 and 19 of chapter 2. He says, children, it is the last hour. So here we are seeing the pastoral heart of the Apostle John. He is saying, children, it is the last hour, and just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have appeared, for this we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown that they all are not of us. So the letter A, once again, is the Antichrist error. Now, false teaching is sinful. It is anti-Christian. Now, I want you to note here the word Antichrist that is in verses 18 is not in verse 19, but is listed twice. Once is singular, but the second time is plural. Okay, now let me explain here to you just a little bit. What he was wanting to do is he was warning them and putting them on guard that they're currently in their time, there was already Antichrist. Now, when we think, a lot of people think of the Antichrist as the one that's going to pop up on the scene in the book of the Revelation. And we're going to start talking about that this upcoming Sunday in Sunday school. When does and how does the Antichrist in the book of the Revelation, how is he presented? Okay? Now, that is not really who John is talking about here. He's talking about Antichrist singular, which he could or could not be referring to the Antichrist of the book of the Revelation. Now, you have to remember that even the Apostle Paul and John thought that they were living in the last days. So that is why John says here, in the last hour. So he even thought that he lived in the last days. Obviously, he wasn't. But he thought that that could be potentially the last days before the rapture, the tribulation period, and the second coming of Christ, the millennial kingdom, and so on and so on. It says, children, it is the last hour, and just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, this is probably the Antichrist of the book of Revelation, but then it goes and says, even now many Antichrists, plural, have appeared. So he is wanting to put them on guard that if you follow false teaching, you are putting yourself in a very, very dangerous position here. Many years ago, I think Sean and I had just gotten married, or maybe we were engaged. There was a couple. They were older. That had left Berean Baptist Church and became Mormons. And it kind of caused a stir within the church. Now, here is this man. He was a deacon in the church at the time. His wife was a Sunday school teacher. And they left and joined the Mormon church. They were there for about a year. And they ended up going under new church discipline and were voted out of the church. Now, this was one of those instances. Remember I mentioned this past Sunday how church discipline is meant not to kick people out of the church, but to keep them in the church or to bring them back to the church. This is one of those instances that it brought them back to the church. They were approached by the pastor. They were approached by other deacons. And then they were brought up and voted out of the church. Well, after about a year of this, they came back to the church. And they had to stand up in front of the church and publicly say that what they did was sinful. That they had allowed themselves to be influenced by false teachers and had gone so far away in their walk with the Lord that they had allowed themselves to be seduced by false teachers. Now, shortly before the death of Christ, I want you now to go to Mark chapter 13. And let's look at verses 21 and 22. Now, this is one of the last discussions that Christ has with his apostles before he is betrayed. This is probably the night of. And he says this. He says, and then, if anyone says to you, behold, here is the Christ, or behold, he is there, do not believe him. For false Christ and false prophets will arise and will show signs and wonders in order to lead astray, if possible, the elect. So here was this family that had allowed themselves to become. Now, what happened was this. They had friends that were Mormons. They invited them into their home to hear what they had to say. And they allowed Satan to get inside their minds and to convince them that what they once believed was false, but what these are teaching is true. And so for a whole year, if not even more than a year, do you remember, honey? Do you remember who I'm talking about? You don't? Okay. Maybe we weren't married yet. You may not have been there yet. But for this period of time, they were being seduced by false prophets. And here, Christ is saying that they will be so seductive that even if possible, the elect, the believers, those that are truly converted, could be deceived. And even Jude, in Jude 18, he said the same kind of of language. Now, the future Antichrist or tribulation will be, well, you can say the ultimate culmination of all of these Antichrists that have been on the earth throughout all of these centuries. Okay? Now, this is how he describes them. Number one, he describes them as the Antichrist because they deny that Jesus is indeed the Messiah. So once again, all you have to do is ask that question. What do you believe about Jesus? Do you believe that he is God? If they say no, okay, sorry, bye. Okay, close the door. If they think you're rude, well, so be it. We're instructed to be rude. Okay? Now you can shut the door with kindness. Don't slam it. They just say, well, I'm sorry, I'm not going to talk to you anymore. And that's what I do. I say, sorry, I'm not going to talk to you anymore. Okay? You're wrong. Okay? I tell them to go read the Gospel of John. Okay? Have a good day. I won't say have a good day. I'll just shut the door. Go on about my business. Watch Andy Griffith. And then secondly, they oppose Jesus Christ by denying his nature. So they deny that Jesus is the Messiah. And then secondly, they deny his true nature. So let's go to chapter 4. We're back at 1 John. Let's go to chapter 4, verse 3, where it says, "And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world." Now, sadly, though, there are false teachers who had once identified themselves as Christians. So I want you to go back now. I want you to look at verse 19 once again. "They went out from us, but they were not really of us." So what is John saying here? That there was a time that they professed to be a Christian. But now they do not. Or they may still do, but they are not really Christians. "For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown that they all are not of us." Now, I wrote four names down of very famous people that were once of us, but they were not really of us. Okay? I wrote the name Stephen Verdick down. Stephen Verdick went to Southern Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. He was just a nobody, just a seminary student. Went to Charlotte with Southern Baptist money, started a church. It grew by leaps and bounds. Now it runs about 7,000 or 8,000. Okay, prosperity gospel guy. He stole Southern Baptist money to get to the point where he is now. And recently he said, "I'm God. I'm God." Now, no, he's not. I wrote another name down, Joel Osteen. Y'all know about that guy. Smiles a lot. There's a third one. And I've read this guy's books. And I thought, man, this is a dude that I can really, not necessarily follow, but I think we could be of kindred spirit. But now he's jumped on the prosperity gospel wagon. He is now with with Bethel and the faith healing and all that. But his name is Francis Chan, who wrote Crazy Love and wrote all those books. He once was of us, but he's not really of us. I'm going to even put John Piper in there. John Piper now has kind of gone off the rails a little bit. Maybe his age. Have you started noticing a little bit with John Piper lately? John Piper now, since he's retired from pastoring, he has now gone off the rails to the point where people that were once with him, such as MacArthur and Sproul before he passed away, they were once big buddies, but now it's like, you know what, dude? No, you are different. You're not with us anymore. That is why we don't follow men. Because once we start following men, okay, I mentioned another one. His name is Jack Hiles. Okay, Jack Hiles was a big independent fundamentalist guy back in the late 60s, 70s, 80s. I went to his Bible college. But even when I was there, there was all these red flags popping up because it was hero worship. And now after he, you know, things started even being, he was being accused of several affairs and all sorts of things. Well, then even his own daughter has recently come out in the last 10 years and said, hey, folks, everything that you heard about this guy is true. He beat my mother. He had her locked up in a bedroom. He treated us kids like we were brats. He had affairs with his secretary. Even the secretary that he was having affairs with, their daughter was at the school we taught at in California and said, oh, yeah, he was having an affair with my mother. Yeah. Yeah, it's true. So we have to be so careful, folks, to not follow men, but follow the Lord. Because every time we start following a man, that man will do something to disappoint us. So let's go to the second thing. Letter B is the Christian's knowledge. The Christian's knowledge. Now let's look at verses 20 and 21. It says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know, I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, because no lie is of the truth. Now, the cultists will take this verse and twist it all out of context. And they will say that this is talking about the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit gives us some sort of a special revelation that is outside of God's Word. Therefore, we have a special anointing. That is what the Bethel movement is all about. That's out of Washington. Okay, that is what they're all about. We receive some sort of special anointing that is outside of God's Word. Well, my answer for that is no, you do not have any kind of special anointing or some sort of special knowledge. I found it very interesting that they have healing, well, they did, they have healing lines where you can, if you're sick, you go to the Bethel Church on a certain day of the week, you drive up in your car, and they will send somebody to your car, or you can get out of your car and go into the church, and they will pray over you, and you'll be healed. They even believe they can raise people from the dead. But now, here's the thing. Guess what they did when COVID happened? They shut the healing services down because they were afraid that they would get COVID. Well, my question was, why are you, if you can heal so much, then why are you shutting down because of COVID? It's inconsistent at best. But what is being said here is, if you are truly born again and you have the Holy Spirit living within you, the Holy Spirit will guide you to what is right and what is wrong. Okay, so when you hear something or you see one of these TV preachers or you hear or see someone that, you know, I don't know about that. You know who is telling you that? The Holy Spirit is telling you that. The Holy Spirit is sending up a red flag and letting you know what? That's not exactly true. That's not exactly right. Now, let's go to the next thing. And that is a definition of error. A definition of error. So let's go to verses 22 and 23. I want to read something to you. I went through this book the other day, and I think I recommended it to y'all to read. And I think Gerald listened to it on audiobook. But it's The Kingdom of the Cults. Now, I want to read to you, this is a basic summary of what the Church of Latter-day Saints believes. If I could find it. Man, he's got a lot on the Mormons here. Okay, here it is. Quick facts on the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The Bible is the Word of God. This is their statement of belief. The Bible is the Word of God insofar as it is correctly translated. There are three sacred books in addition to the Bible. The Book of Mormon, the Doctrine and Covenants, and the Pearl of Great Price. The earth is one of several inhabited planets ruled over by gods and goddesses who were at one time humans on other planets. Mormonism is polytheistic in its core. Now, what does it mean by polytheism? Okay, theism meaning God, poly meaning many. So they believe in Mormonism that there are many gods. So how you live on this earth can be determined of what level of God you can become in the outer limits, the twilight zone. The Trinity, this is what they believe about Trinity, consists of three gods born at different times and places. The Father begot the Son and Holy Spirit as spirit children through a goddess wife in heaven. Yeah, that's what I thought too. Humankind is the same species as God, and that God begot all humans in heaven as offspring of his wife or wives, who were sent to earth for their eventual exaltation to Godhead. Salvation is resurrection, but exaltation to Godhead for eternal life in the celestial heaven must be earned through self-meriting works. Now, what does that sound like to you? Does that sound like true doctrine or false doctrine? It's false doctrine. Now, let me tell you another religion that is very, very similar. And that is the Church of Scientology that started by L. Ron Hubbard. As I have been watching recently by an actress that grew up a Scientologist but came out of it, she realized I've been duped. And her and another, y'all know who I'm talking about. Have you watched it? Have you watched some of it? Now, the language gets rough, so I'm not telling you to watch it. If rough language is a defense to you, then I would not recommend you to watch it. A&E did it. I think it's on Netflix. But her and the third higher-up guy in Scientology, he got out because he realized he was being duped. And they have been going to people that have been kicked out of the Church of Scientology, or they left on their own. And as I have been reading about Scientology, and as I have been watching these people's testimonies about how they were exposed to all of this, and what they have been taught, both of them are like twins. Very, very similar to one another. Now, I'm not going to get through with all this tonight. So let's look at the definition of error. So verses 22 and 23. I'm sorry. Did I skip something? No. Okay. So Roman numeral number 2, definition of error. 22 and 23. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also. Now, I can compromise on certain things. I can compromise on Bible translations. I can compromise on the name of a church. If you don't want to put Baptist on your church, if you just want to have Christ Fellowship or Lighthouse Fellowship or Lighthouse Church, or like Andy Webb, one of my dear friends, is Presbyterian Church of America. He's PCUS. He's PC. He is not PUSA, which is the nut jobs of Presbyterians. You know, I can compromise on those things, okay? Yeah, we baptize by immersion. Yeah, they sprinkle. All right, I disagree, but that's not going to harm my friendship. We still believe the same gospel. We still believe the same Bible. We believe that it's inspired by God. We believe in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. We believe in all those things. So I can compromise. I can agree to disagree on certain things. But there's one major thing that I'm not going to negotiate on, and that is Jesus as being Christ. That is non-negotiable. When you start trying to convince me that Jesus is not the Christ, we are done. We're done. We are not going to go with this discussion any further. We're done. So the deity of Christ is non-negotiable. And that is what is said here in verses 22 and 23. Whoever denies it is a liar. Now, let's go to verses 24 through 27. We'll try to finish this up. We'll try to wrap it up here. It's a deliverance from error. A deliverance from error. So letter A is abiding in the truth. Abiding in the truth. Now, as for you, let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. If what you have heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. This is the promise which He Himself made to us, eternal life. So what was going on here, and it's even going on today, it's been going on for centuries, is the pressure that false teachers will try to put on true, especially young believers. That is why it is so important to disciple young believers. Because once we stop discipling them, they are very vulnerable to the cults. They're very vulnerable. So that is why we must, when a person is a new believer, get them right into church, get them right into discipleship, begin the process of teaching them what is right and what is wrong. So John was most concerned here that genuine Christians are truly committed to the truth. So you see the word abide, and you see the word remain here. But abide, remain, continue, they all translate the same. So what John is saying here is, as the word of Christ abides in you, you are to remain in the truth and let it sink into your heart, into your mind, and keep on keeping on the truth that you know is truth. So then there's letter B, and that is avoid the error. Avoid the error. Verses 26 and 27. These things I have written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. I just found it so interesting that 10 minutes before I was speaking on this subject tonight, I get a Facebook message from a Mormon missionary. That's not coincidental. Okay, well, number one, I don't believe in coincidences. Now, I'm going to go with it. I'm going to answer him back. I'm not going to be rude and ignore him, but I'm going to say, okay, you give me 5 minutes. Yeah. I'll take 5 minutes. You got to give me equal time. We'll go with it. Okay? I'll sit and talk to him. Okay? Now, when we're done, I'm not going to have prayer with him and say, God bless you. Okay? But, all right, you give me five, I'll give you five. Okay, we'll go with it. Now, John is saying here, abide in the truth, and then he says this, avoid error. Avoid error. I want you to note some very, very strong language that John is using here. In verse 18, he calls them the Antichrist. So anyone that denies the deity of Christ is against Christ. But then he uses another word that is strong in verse 22 where he calls them a what? a liar. Anybody in here want to be called a liar? I wouldn't. I hope you don't want to either. John here is using some very strong language in describing them. Number one, they're antichrist, and number two, they're liars. So do not trust them. Do you trust a liar? You ever heard of what's the expression, fool me once, you know, fool me once it's on you, fool me twice it's on me? Well, you know, people that deny the deity of Christ are people that we cannot trust. So, what can we learn from this tonight? Well, we need to learn that the best defense against error is what? The truth. That's the best defense. The best defense is reading God's Word, studying God's Word, memorizing God's Word, being faithful to church, being underneath good, solid teaching and preaching of God's Word. Now, does that mean that we'll never be tempted? No. It doesn't mean that. Does that ever mean we won't be tested? No. Because one of the major things, one of the major tools in the toolbox that Satan uses is doubt. To get you to doubt. Okay? But one thing that we can always be assured of is this. God's Word is true. Twice in God's Word it says, God cannot what? Lie. He cannot lie. Even if he tried to, he doesn't have the ability to lie. So an application we can learn from this tonight is simply this. Abide and share the truth about Jesus Christ. And I got it all done tonight. I did have to edit quite a bit, but anyway, we got it done. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for that your word is truth, and that we can rest and depend upon it. And now, Father, I pray now as you dismiss us with your blessing, and I pray that all things tonight will be done, has been done decently in order. And I pray, Father, we would always have discernment of knowing what is right and what is wrong, and what is truth and what is error. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, have a good rest of the week. If you're helping out with Vacation Bible School, see you Saturday morning, 9 o'clock. Okay. Okay. All right. Well, basically, whenever you want to be here. Okay. I'll have Krispy Kremes. Richard, I'll have a pot of coffee on for you. I'll have a pot of coffee.